Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical red host Chad Payton and obsessive blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the fifth season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoop Show here on WNIN 88.3 and WNIN.org. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Chad Payton, your voice for the Indiana Hoosiers, and joining me tonight, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, as your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, Evan Big Cat Beck. Evan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chad. Can you guys hear me okay up there?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can. You sound great.
I noticed you left one key thing out of that intro that I've been including this year about Kentucky. Why did you do that, you think?
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, good catch. And I couldn't say that for Indiana. So,
Kentucky Wildcats, the greatest tradition in college basketball.
There you go.
Down here again on special assignment for Coach Calipari, doing some pre-SEC tournament scouting, checking things out. And just since we've learned this year that our listeners take us literally all the time, I'm just kidding about that. But I will say, for those that are thinking about heading down to the tournament this year due to the continual growth of this city and the surrounding region, boy, the traffic patterns here have increased significantly. So make that a note for those traveling down here to see the SEC tournament in the Big Blue Nation.
Gotcha.
In Nashville. Yep.
Well, to kind of set the stage for everyone tonight, we are on Facebook Live as normal. Mr. Walker Beck is in the house. He just set up Periscope, I believe. That's what it's called, isn't it, Walker?
Yeah, on Red Blue Hoops Twitter account.
All right. Maria.
Hey, Walker.
Berger. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, he was Walker was actually – we were talking about – so, listeners, tonight, as a request, I was thinking about it. It's Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
So, when you call in, you can ask your question, no problem. But Evan and Walker and I want to know who your favorite IU or UK basketball player is of all time. So, I'm tipping you off right now. Cool. You got time. And Evan, Walker said yours would probably
be Brad Calipari.
So, I don't know.
Absolutely not. You guys know me better than that. But happy Valentine's Day to you guys and to all our listeners of Red Blue Hoops out there in WNIN world. And, Chad, I just hope that you've taken great care of your lovely wife for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's the plan. We'll probably get some dinner later. She's actually doing some she's got some things going on tonight as well. And I told Mr. Berger earlier, there's no other person I would rather spend my Valentine's Day than with him. So he got a little chuckle out of that. So.
Let me ask you a question before we get into the meat of the show, since you're asking our listeners to talk about their favorite Indiana or Kentucky players. Who is your all-time favorite Indiana Hoosier?
My all-time favorite Indiana Hoosier would have to be Calbert Chaney. So, probably was Steve Alford for a long time. And I think the first show that I did with you, Evan, in, I guess, 2016 – you asked me why I became such a huge IU fan, and Alford was a big reason for that. But really, when I think of the history and the things that Calbert did and the records he still holds, and he's from Evansville, Indiana, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. A Harrison Warrior legend, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Who holds the scoring record there? Is it Ben Shoulders or Calbert Chaney or Walter McCarty?
I think Ben came in a distant third on that. So third, by the way.
A distant third. Well, let me ask you something, Chad. Who's your all-time favorite Kentucky basketball player?
My all-time favorite Kentucky basketball player. You know, I tweeted you this a while back, and I don't know why. I just like the way this guy played. Antoine Walker.
Yeah, yeah. He did the shimmy shake back in the day when he would dunk on people.
He was a heck of a player.
Did you do that for Valentine's Day?
Do what now?
Can you replicate that?
No. You wouldn't want to see that. That would be not pretty.
Antoine Walker. So, Walker Beck, who's your favorite Kentucky basketball player?
I got to say pre-life, probably Kenny Skye, due to the connection we've had over the years. But my lifetime, I got to say probably John Wall or Anthony Davis for the Kentucky basketball program, I got to say. They are
okay.
Two
John
valuable
Wall
pieces.
Or Anthony Davis. Well, mm-hmm. You can't take two. You got to select one.
Anthony Davis, the brow.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Okay, well, he brought us a title. My all-time favorite Kentucky player is Kenny Skywalker.
Yeah.
And there's been rumors that that's how our son Walker got his name. I don't know if that's fact or not, but it could
I wouldn't know.
How about that? Okay, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. My favorite Indiana player all time, Calvert Chaney.
All right, good deal. You can't go wrong there.
He's a classy dude. Mm-hmm. Even though he played for the biggest bully in college history, Calvert never. How can I say this? Calvert never carried Bobby's behavior onto the court. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't. Yeah, he was. I 100% understand what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah. So I respect that guy a lot, and the fact he's from Evansville. So anyway.
All right. Well, remind
Dad,
everybody. I'm sorry.
Tell me about your Hoosiers.
Well, let me do this. We got our first call. Let's go to that real quick. You all right with that?
Absolutely. Let's get on it.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Kim, you are on Red Blue Hoops, or Mom, I would say, probably.
Yes. How you doing?
Are you there, Kim?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Mom. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
Good. Evan is on assignment in Nashville, but he is with
can't
us.
Can't say. Yeah. Great.
All right, you're on.
Okay. I can't say much about our team right now, but we are going to back our Indiana Hoosiers. We still love them.
That's right. I would agree with that. That's good. Who is your favorite Indiana basketball player of all time, Mom?
I'll have to go with Evan, Kevin, Calvert Chaney.
All right, that's good. That's what I said, too. So that's three for Calvert.
Okay.
Anything else
for us?
Well,
my heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you.
All right.
Love you guys.
All right, thanks for calling in. All right, reminder to all the listeners, give us a call, 812-426-7400, or tweet us.
We do have a question already, Dad.
At Red Blue Hoops. All right, let's go with it.
Dad, is he behind us?
I'm here.
Oh, Evan's
here?
There.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay, he never answered me, but
he might not have heard you.
Oh. All right, so this is from Geraldine, all right?
Yep.
Caller, she said, how much will the loss to LSU affect UK seeding in the SEC tournament, Dad, since you're doing prep work? What do you say from that question?
Well, as it stands tonight, it shifted us down to the 3 seed, which is the absolute worst seed in the top four.
9 o'clock.
Because it puts you at the 9:30 game Friday night. And let me tell you, I've got a lot of bad memories over the years, dating back to 1986, of being in that game on Friday night. I remember some bad ones we had in Atlanta down there in the Georgia Dome. But so we're a 3 seed right now, mm-hmm. but we have an opportunity to change that if we finish out strong with the rest of our schedule. Obviously, we face Tennessee twice, but
yep.
It's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Hey, Evan on and Walker too. LSU, what do they have left? As far as schedule,
Tennessee
goes.
Once, and other than that, just the other mediocre SEC teams.
What is their record in the SEC right
10
now?
10-1.
So they're in second.
They're in second, yep.
And kind of in the catbird seat, really.
Yeah, and they have Tennessee home, too.
Mm. Yep. Chad, if you remember going back about 3 or 4 shows ago, I called LSU my dark horse favorite because of the way their schedule is this year with the flex SEC schedule.
You did say that. So. I guess real quick, Evan, I mean, you were at the game the other night. Give us your rundown of that one.
Well, obviously, the atmosphere was fantastic leading up to the game. You know the setup there. You got the Hyatt Hotel and the Hyatt Lobby Bar connected to Rupp Arena, and it was packed like 3.5 hours before tip-off. Ended up running up there with my good friend Jason Blue, who lives in Evansville but from Union County, Kentucky, but once we got into the arena, Chad, I will tell you this. LSU and the eye test, as you call it, when they walked onto the court, if you were to take the Duke Blue Devils and put that team on the court, if you were to take the Duke Blue Devils and put them on the court and have LSU on the court and take their jerseys off and just pick a team based on what they look like physically, I guarantee everyone would pick LSU, and that includes Zion Williamson. LSU is by far the most physically imposing team I've seen in person this year. It's not even a question.
Yeah, and long,
tall, and athletic, and a lot of diversity.
Yeah, you said that going into that game, too. You tipped me off about how solid they looked. And I think Dick Vitale, I think I told you this on the phone yesterday, but he has what he calls the all-airport team. And he said, and what he means by that is when you see these guys walking in the airport, you know they're good. They're big and strong. Well, and that was two thoroughbred teams going after it the other night. It was a good game.
It was. And I will have to say, when we walked in there, and our seats are right up behind the visitor's bench. And when I looked down there and started analyzing, it caught me off guard. It was more than I anticipated. With that being said, I mean, we played really well in the first half. I think we finished the first half on a 11-2 run to go into the halftime with an 8-point lead, if I remember correctly. And we were doing a really good job on the rebounding, because LSU leads the SEC in offensive rebounding. But Kentucky leads the SEC in defensive rebounding. And again, at the intermission, we were doing a better job and held them at bay. But to their credit and to Coach Will Wade's credit, they made a defensive adjustment at halftime. And we traded baskets early in the second half. But then about, I'd say, the 15-minute mark, Chad, down to the 8-minute mark, LSU dominated the game, especially on the defensive end. And we were out of sync. Ashton Hagans had a really poor game. And then P.J. Washington picked up his fourth foul.
Yep.
And that's when LSU took control of the game. But I will say this. We have to remember, as a Kentucky fan base, we are still a very young team. We're down 5 late, and our team did what it had to do to get back in position to have a chance to win the game. Now, with that being said, obviously the game is marred by a tremendous controversy that I would assume – that most of our listeners, especially the Kentucky fans, would know about, the basket at the end of the game that was goaltending, that was not able to be reviewed and called correctly. So,
all right, hey, before you go into that, I think we got a call, and he might be interested in talking about that too. Is Jim Gotze on the line, Mr. Berger?
No,
we might have lost him. Jim, if you're out there, give us a call back. And fans, give us a call. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say that, I mean, again, some of our Indiana listeners, and maybe even you, Chad, weren't even watching the game because you're notorious for not watching Kentucky games.
I turned it on late.
But the play was, we tied the game with 6 seconds to go after two free throws by Keldon Johnson. LSU inbounds the ball, and to their credit, they get the ball down the court very quickly. Kentucky didn't do a good job stopping the ball movement up the court. We pressure the shooter. He shoots it. It's on the rim. They tip it in, and the entire Rupp Arena calls goaltending. Every fan in the house knew it was goaltending, but because we're a knowledgeable fan base. But anyway, they did not call goaltending. They went to the monitor, and everyone assumed they were going to review it. Well, goaltending is not reviewable
under the
current rule book of college basketball. They were going to the monitor to review to make sure the tip-in occurred before the clock expired. Well, when they called the basket good, let me just tell you this, the place went bananas. It was pretty interesting. But it's unfortunate, Chad, because it's just like the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
When they didn't get that call, and that impacted their ability to not even go to the Super Bowl. And when you have LSU and Kentucky playing for second place in the SEC at this time of the season, how much impact it has on seeding and March Madness, I hate to see a game played this well by both teams, coached really well on both benches, to be marred by a complete failure by three supposed professionals. And these are all experienced referees, Chad. These aren't like newbies. These are guys that have all done Final Fours. So, unfortunately, what happened, Chad? Tony Green called goaltending.
Yeah,
the other two said no.
You were telling me that. So, that's crazy.
So at that point in time, the call by the other two, it takes precedent. So they go to the monitors, and the people that work right there, Joel Lindsay, after he saw the review, he goes, "Oh, man, we blew it." I mean, that's what he said verbally, and everybody in that area heard him. So I hate to hear that, because it could have a negative impact on the rest of our season and our seeding. But anyway, it's the way it goes. And you know what? We shouldn't have been in that position anyway. We should have been winning by 2 or maybe 4 points at that point in time, and it wouldn't have mattered. But
well,
anyway.
I don't remember seeing, too, on that rebound putback, there wasn't any Kentucky players underneath the basket, was there?
Three went
Where
for the
were
block.
These guys?
Three went for the block on Tremont Waters.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, again, Keldon Johnson was guarding the ball handler that took the shot. But once they saw him get past Keldon's shoulder, PJ and EJ rolled over to try to block
right.
him. Left the other field, you guys on the weak side. So credit to the guy handling the ball. It was not Tremont Waters.
Oh, it was
another kid.
Okay.
No, it was I think number four, Rice, whatever his name is.
Well, I didn't tip you off before the game, but those two referees you're talking about, I know those guys real well, and they knew about our bet that we had for these dinners, so they hooked me up.
Well, they did, man. You owe them one. Actually, Joe Lindsay was the one that had the primary baseline position for the call, and he did. Dude, if you go back and look at the video, he didn't move a muscle, didn't even make a motion. Well, he's the one that almost threw me out of Rep Arena back when Walker was like 9 years old.
Yep.
Whoa! What?
I would have been by myself.
I got to hear. Can you give us a quick story of this? I mean, he almost got thrown out of Rupp.
This is Billy Gillespie's last year, I think. Is that right, Walker?
Yeah, same year as we were talking about South Bend year in IT.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had an opportunity. These were not my seats. We got moved down to front row courtside opposite Kentucky's bench. And this is back when Jody Meeks was on our team, Chad.
Oh, he's
one
a stud.
Of the best players in Kentucky history.
Yep.
So, there's a fast break. Jody goes to the opposite end of the court, goes up to make a layup. He gets hammered. There's no foul called. And this is 100% true. All I said to Joe Lindsay was, I said, hey, ref, 23 got hammered. Make the call. So about 5 minutes later after a TV timeout, one of the administrators from University of Kentucky's athletic department comes over, taps me on the shoulder. He said, hey, Evan, that referee right there said during the TV timeout that if you say one more word, he's throwing you out of Rep Arena.
I used
zero foul language. All I said was, hey, ref, 23 got fouled, make the call. And he's that sensitive. These guys just drive me crazy. They think they're all just like superpower hero-type people or whatever.
I think to fix this, they need to have to talk to the media after the game, right? I mean, that would be fair.
Bingo.
Like players and coaches.
When I saw Doug Shouse, I guess he was at Duke Louisville game. I was like, my gosh, I've seen him like every day this past week. I figured out he was at LSU Saturday,
yep.
at UNC Monday, then at Louisville Tuesday.
These guys were
well.
Overworked.
I saw Joe Lindsay last night working the Mississippi at Auburn game. So he went from Lexington to Auburn in 24 hours.
Wow.
So.
All right.
I hate it for any team. I don't care if it's Kentucky or Indiana. I hate for a team to be penalized by refs making a horrible call that impacts the outcome of the game. It should never happen.
100% agree.
I think UK fans were more angry because the Louisville Duke game, they reviewed a defensive play that was in the arc, but you can't review a goaltending, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Well, hold your thoughts. Let's get to our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about Rule of 71, too. So we're going to take our first break. Go Hoosiers.
Go Cats.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Wealth Advisors. German American Wealth Advisors help accumulate and grow the wealth of individuals, families, and businesses with a mutual relationship based on trust and respect. Learn more at GermanAmerican.com.
All right, welcome back, Red Blue Hoops fans.
Back.
It is a beautiful, cold, somewhat Valentine's Day.
I wouldn't call it cold. It was nice out today.
Well, it is now. It was pretty nice this morning.
It was.
This afternoon.
I know.
How's the weather down there, Mr. Beck?
Well, when we checked in, it was starting to cool down quite a bit, but the wind had finally calmed down. That was good. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I'm I'm kind of locked into this, what's it called? The Gaylord Opryland.
Oh, that's a beautiful hotel. Yeah.
So I probably won't see outside for at least a couple more days. So I'm hunkered down. But, hey, a little housekeeping, Chad, that we need to do real
quick. Oh, yeah, I know where you're going. My bad.
We've got to remember to remind all of our listeners to attend the Red Blue Hoops live remote at Bar Louie next Thursday night, 6 p.m.
Live remote, folks, Bar Louie, 6 o'clock next Thursday. Can't wait. Should have a good – last year's attendance was really good.
Awesome. We had an awesome show last year.
Should be really good again.
Can't wait.
Hey, we got a caller.
Rock on.
We have Chris from Owensboro. Chris, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, Chad, remember I can't
hear
the caller.
Thank you. First time calling this year. Appreciate you guys' show. We love listening.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Chris Rhodes?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. So I've got a question. You all may have covered this, but obviously UK-Indiana used to be a great rivalry, used to be a great game. Haven't played each other in years, it seems, because of the controversy between Tom Crean and Coach Cal.
Yep.
And I know IU's been down for a long time, and UK kind of eaten their lunch over the last decade or so. But
now, wait a minute, Chris. We have beat you guys a couple times, but okay.
I know. I'll give you a couple times. But, you know, back in the early 90s, it used to be a pretty balanced rivalry.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the last 20 years, I've got kids, and I try to convince them that IU was once a powerhouse program, and none of them believe me. But could IU and UK get this thing going again? And what does IU need to do to make themselves nationally relevant once again?
Good question.
Yeah, good question. Well, thanks for that call, Evan. Were you able to hear that call or no?
No, I cannot hear any of the callers tonight.
Well, okay, so Chris was asking, and I know we've talked about this a little bit, but the IU-UK potential matchup again here soon in the next couple of years, and I guess I'm a little nervous about that. I thought it was going to happen, but from what we've heard from Pratt and even Don Fisher, it's kind of up in the air. Would you agree with that?
I would, and even if you remember, Mike DeCourcy touched on it as well, and he didn't sound very positive, and I mean, again, this time last year, it was looking like it was going to happen, but I guess what's happening is we can't get in the Yum Center on Saturdays in December for some reason, and as we know, both teams have a loaded non-conference schedule right now under contract for both programs, but, you know, the teams are not going to do a home-and-home anymore for a while longer, I suspect, so it's got to be Yum Center and I guess Lucas or Banker's Life.
Yeah.
Would you guys rather see that earlier December or like the Big 12 SEC Challenge, like in early February?
December. I used to love that as a kid. Dude, IU Kentucky
awesome.
In December, man.
Yeah.
Early. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, Chris also asked how IU can become a national program again.
Yeah. It's, well, you stab me in the heart on that.
I don't know if we have enough time on the show to get into that, but back to the Kentucky-Indiana game, as a Kentucky fan, at this point, if they told me that we had to play up in Indy for the next 5 years, I would take it. I don't care. I'll play it. I'd want to play them anywhere as long as we played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, and I'll flip it the other way. If we had to go to the Yum Center or wherever, I want to see that game. There you go. Well, you guys own Nashville too. So
I was just saying, well, down there. You guys should own Indy.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't even own Assembly Hall right now, so it's being leased out to the Big Ten.
Chad, I've had a lot of questions the past few days. Something that happened on social media that was somewhat earth-shattering this week.
Okay, shoot.
A lot of people noticed that you changed your Twitter profile picture.
Yes, I did.
You took the Indiana montage down and replaced it with a Larry Bird jersey. What's that all about?
I did. Yeah, so I had the picture of folks probably know this, but Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford, which was a great picture. And I needed to have a fresh start. You know, I needed to start over with something else, something positive. Right now, Juwan and Romeo and the team, they're not getting it done. I'm obviously still a fan. I love IU, huge fan. But I needed to go a different direction. So I put Bird on there. I always have to smile when I think of Larry Bird. So good catch. Good question, but that's where it came from.
Hey, Dad.
Yes, sir, Walker.
Jim Gotze asks, what did the guy say at the gym this morning when I asked him about his IU hat?
Oh, now, this is really witty and funny. I'm glad that Jim reminded us about this. So Gotze and I finished our early morning workout. It's about, I think, about 10 or 15 minutes after 6 a.m. at the Dunnigan YMCA on Evansville's east side. And a banking legend from Evansville, he's retired now, Bert King, big IU fan. I used to work with Bert at Old National Bank back in the mid to late 90s. Bert walks in. He's walking toward the coat rack, and he's got an old IU hat on. And Jim Gotze says, hey, Bert, how do you feel about that hat right now? And Bert, I guess, had forgotten which hat he had put on this morning.
Oh, no.
Bert, no way.
No, he takes the hat off and glances at it. He says, well, this allows me to have handicapped parking now.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And I'm not making that up. I thought it was one of the wittiest things I've heard in a while. That just came off quick. It was perfect. It's funny.
Well, so,
I got a big laugh.
Yeah, I'm trying to, with a lot of my IU fans and buddies, to somehow humor it up a little bit, because right now it's a rough time. And mm-hmm. I think I sent you guys the text earlier. It was a skeleton sitting on a bench, and I titled that "Me Waiting for IU to Make the Tournament."
That was pretty good too. I enjoyed
that.
Yeah, I figured you guys would like that.
Well, Chad, I'm going to leave this next thing. I'll leave it up to your judgment.
Okay.
You're the voice for the Hoosiers on this show, but
all right.
You and I both have been. We've had IU fans reach out to you and I both independently.
Yes.
But with the same information about some rumors out of Bloomington. Do you want to touch on that on the show or not?
No, absolutely. I think because it makes a lot of sense. So what Evan obviously mentioned a couple of his buddies, and I had a buddy that was actually at the Iowa game last week, and some folks that were sitting in front of him, he got to talking to them, and they said that in December or so it could be late December, early January, there was a blow-up in practice. And it was really between, it seemed like, Romeo, Juwan, and Duran. And basically nobody knows the details of why it happened, but something happened there, and it's really caused team chemistry issues, selfishness, guys not wanting to play for each other. And, you know, I think I said, and I've tweeted this a couple times, I just kept saying something is not right with this team. And if you watch them, if someone tipped you off and said, this team has chemistry problems, I said, watch the game, you'd be like, yeah, I can see that, because there's just no cohesiveness. There's no team play. I wouldn't say no team play, but it's just not, it just does not flow and does not look right. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Evan, you watch the games too. You're doing your homework, as you say that I don't. But would you agree that you see the same things out there that kind of correspond to that information that we received?
Yeah, definitely. What I've noticed here in the last few games, in my opinion, there's been a little bit of a change in Juwan Morgan's body language during the game. He looks more, what would this be? His like facial expressions and body language seems like he's kind of not as dialed in, like at the highest level of intensity during the game. And when this information first got to me earlier this week, I initially discounted a little bit, Chad, because, I mean, I've been through the same thing with some Kentucky teams back in the past that had some, you know, team turmoil inside the locker room.
Sure.
And sometimes it was blown out of proportion, sometimes it wasn't. So I didn't really give it much credit. But then as more information came into both you and to me as the week went along, maybe there was more credence there than I initially thought. But it can be problematic when your team starts hitting, you know, rough times. And obviously, you know, Romeo, we've been told, has been a great teammate and very coachable this season. But someone that comes in with that much fanfare and there's some turmoil within the team and he's in the center of it, it could be a problem for sure.
I want to keep touching on this for a second, but just again, a reminder to all of our Red Blue Hoops fans, live remote next Thursday, Bar Louie. 6 o'clock. Mr. Walker Beck, you will be there, correct?
I'll be there. I'll be there. Ready to go.
Evan and I will be there with our red and blue red shirts
on. You're still wearing red?
I'm still wearing red. Uh-huh. I'll tell you. But back to your point, Evan, I was just going to say that Kentucky and IU this year, something similar, talking about how coaches handle situations. So, in my opinion, Cal saw the writing on the wall with Quad A Green, that, and I'm not saying Quad A was a bad kid, and I'm not saying that at all. Cal had the forward thinking to see that it was not going to work out the way that he thought it could. And he knew for his team to take the next step and for Quad A to get a fresh start and find somewhere where he can showcase his talents. He had that tough conversation early, and that situation got done, and you guys just blasted off after that. Ashton Hagen started playing well. P.J. Washington started doing his thing. And I flipped that to Archie in his scenario, and it was a perfect storm with us. If those things did go on, Archie could have made some decisions quicker to have that tough conversation or not. But the flip side, and I've thought about this numerous times, it's a little tougher when you have so many injuries and you can't bench players, you can't do what you normally could do. And I'll give them – I hate that excuse, but it's a fact. And I think you said this yesterday on the phone, Evan. IU is one of the most injured teams in the country. And I do think I don't want to use it as an excuse, but it definitely has hindered us from performing at a high level and Archie being able to coach his players the way he needs to. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I do. I do agree with that totally. And how old is Archie now? Do you know?
Archie's my age. He's 40 years old.
Okay, so as an example, you just gave two different stories, one handled by Cal Perry, who's 60 years old.
Correct.
And has a tremendous amount of coaching experience. And Cal Perry, quite frankly, has had the opportunity to coach some of the biggest stars in basketball due to his recruiting. And he's able to handle players a little differently. But Archie's a very young coach, and he may have been in a situation where, and we all know this, Archie Miller has never coached a five-star recruit that's projected to be in the top 5 to 10 positions of the draft. He's never experienced that before. So,
no question.
I want to give Archie a little bit of a pass. He's still learning as a coach. Just like, as an example, let's talk about Kentucky football as a parallel to this. Mark Stoops came into Kentucky football. He had never been a head football coach before. He was a defensive coordinator at Florida State. Well, he's had to learn on the job how to become a better head football coach, and he's starting to show that. I think the Indiana fans need to be a little bit more patient with Archie Miller, like I told you on the phone. By far the most injured team in Division I basketball this year. He's young. Give the guy a little bit more time before. I mean, people are asking for him to be fired right now. I think it's too early. It's too early to say that, in my opinion.
That's how the world is nowadays.
And I've been unhappy, and I think I've probably said a few things that I regret.
Oh yeah.
You know, the problem is the some of these IU media guys, they keep referring to. Well, Coach K was struggling early on, and Tony Bennett, and other guys like that. And my point back to them was, it's a different time, and we don't need to go back to comps from the 80s and 90s and 2000s. We have guys right now, Will Wade, mm-hmm. Chris Holtman, and there's another one, Chris Mack. These guys are performing instantly, and outside of Louisville, Will Wade and Chris Holtman did not have as good of situations inherited than Archie did, in my opinion. So
no, you're right about that. If you take Chris Mack's first year at Louisville, which is this year,
he's got talent on that team, so it's hard to argue with. I mean, they're good players,
but they were ranked way below Indiana.
Okay, yeah, just absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they were not given a chance to do anything. Well, look what he's done with that squad. I mean, I think I said to you, and I said on Twitter, I mean, he's my favorite young coach right now is Chris Mack.
He is pretty good, no question. And I think just to remind IU fans, too, when we're talking critical of Archie, both of these statements can be true. Archie is a good coach. Archie did not do a great job this year. It's not like that's one or the other. Both of those statements can be true. He fought a lot of adversity, and we do have 7 games left. We'll see what happens, but I just don't feel confident right now with anything with the program and what's going to happen moving forward. Somehow we're still hanging on. Ken Pom's 45. We're in the mix if we can win some games, but that's a big if.
I didn't even check Ken Pom today leading into the show. I didn't know you guys were hanging at 45 still. Wow.
45, 70 offense, 33 defense. So we do have those good wins, Louisville, Marquette.
Michigan State.
And there's opportunities out there. Big game Saturday against Minnesota.
Very big.
At the Barn, which I hate that place. But we did win there last year. We tend to play well there. We have the past couple of years. And then we still have Purdue, who is 9 in Ken Pom. Michigan State at home. Wisconsin. The opportunities are out there.
Just got to take them.
Exactly right. And I just cannot believe – with a team, Jawan Morgan and Romeo Langford, just those two guys, thinking about it, if someone said 6 months ago that you guys are going to lose 4 straight games at Assembly Hall, I would have said you're crazy.
I think you're going to be like in, I don't know, 5 years, I mean, look back and be like, how did this team, you know, not succeed to the level they should have, you know?
Somebody will write a book about it.
How about what Tom Crean said Saturday about his players? Did you see that?
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
That was a fiasco.
And they got the number one recruit, Anthony Edwards. So,
Was
48 hours later, got the number one recruit in the country.
Well, and that had IU fans. We're just sitting here thinking, so we've lost all these games in a row, or we lost 9 of 10. Then you look around the landscape of college basketball, Chris Mack's coaching well, Will Wade's coaching well, Chris Holtman's doing a pretty good job. Then our boy, old Tom Crean, signs the number 1/number 2 recruit in the country. And then, to take it a step further, Kelvin Cheating Sampson is 23-1 for the University of Houston. So if rock bottom is – I guess we're probably near rock bottom. So, I don't know.
Yep. Chad, are we up against our last break?
Yes, we are. We'll go to break. Come back and join us on Red Blue Hoops. Go Hoosiers.
Go Cats.
Red Blue Hoops is presented by German American Bank. German American Bank offers checking accounts to help manage everyday life with mobile banking, mobile bill pay, mobile check deposit, and mobile pay people. Learn more at germanamerican.com. Support for Red Blue Hoops also comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you.
Welcome back, Red Blue Hoops fans. That was Walker on the guitar. It used to be me.
Actually, I'm on the drums.
On the drums.
I'm more of a drum guy.
Yeah,
I thought we changed that band. It used to be
Archie Miller and somebody, or no?
It was Tom Crean and Chad and the Spring Cleaners or something like that.
It was Chad and the Spring Cleaners that one season, and then we changed it to Archie and the Pickers because he got caught picking his nose on national TV during that game last year. Remember that?
He did. Thanks for reminding. So that's just another thing. Jeez. Well, we do have our third caller of the night. We got to get to him, Mr. Hall of Famer. Alan from Birdseye, you are on Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me tonight.
Yes, sir, Alan.
First off, it's looking pretty good for next Thursday.
All right.
And then my thing is on the down on poor old Archie thing.
Right.
You said guys are going back to – young coaches in the 90s, early 2000s, 80s. Here's one to think about. Barnes in Tennessee.
Sure.
Year one, 15 and 19. Year two, 16 and 16.
Okay.
This is his fourth year now, correct?
That seems right. I don't know. I'd have to check that, but
it is. So, all I'm saying is he got his people in place in relationship to players. You're going to have to let Archie get his kids in here. And not only that, I strongly feel that he is still the right guy for this.
Yep, yep.
He is, him and his coaching, I'm not saying they're the same, but I think there is a lot of similarities between him and Mac on their coaching.
Sure.
Now.
Sure.
So, that being said, I'll get off here because I know Evan's doing this remotely tonight, but that's just my food for thought for the night, and I think Saturday we stand a good chance. I'm not going to say it's a for sure thing.
Yep.
Because what you said about this blow up during practice relates back to what I said. I believe that was week before last, that there is definitely some animosity going on in the locker room.
100%. 100%.
Good show. Thank you, guys. And I hope to see you next week.
That would be awesome, Alan.
All right.
Thank you. So, folks, Alan reminded everybody that we do have our live remote next Thursday.
Woo-woo.
Bar Louie. Please come out, see Evan Walker and I. Maria, you'll be there, right? It'll be a great time. So, Evan, what is going on, sir?
Well, down here in Nashville, again, doing some work for John Calipari and the UK coaching staff, but it just dawned on me, Chad, you're not going to believe this, but after the show's over, I'm getting to have dinner with an IU alumni.
Whoa.
No kidding.
Yeah. How about that? Isn't that crazy?
I like it. Well, you might be able to solicit some pretty good feedback from that person. I'm curious.
Well,
see what they say.
Don't know how much of an actual basketball fan particular person is, but hey, how about Kentucky? They're 20-4.
Yep.
Obviously, they got killed by Duke in the first game of the season, but they've had their other three losses by a total of 5 points. So close to being 23-1. Is that right?
That would be right.
Yeah. So I still have a lot of faith in this team, but boy, we're heading into a huge game this Saturday.
Very big.
Hosting Tennessee and Rupp Arena, and College Game Day is coming back to Lexington, Chad, twice in 1 month. That's unusual.
It's at Memorial Coliseum, though, so different venue.
Which I think, Walker, in my opinion, is going to be better than in Rupp, just because it's going to be packed. This is where Kentucky used to play, Chad, before they built Rupp Arena.
Yes.
And Memorial Coliseum is on the campus, and it's also it's all connected to the Joe Kraft Center, which is the practice facilities. And all the administrative and coaching offices are in that facility. And then in the parking lot of the Joe Kraft Center is the Wildcat Toll Lodge, where all the players live.
Okay.
The Memorial Coliseum, that's back where Pete Maravich played against Dan Issel and, Pat Riley and Rupp's Runts. That's where they played. Just
that's
a lot
cool.
of history. And they're going to have College Game Day there Saturday. That'll be really cool. So what's your since you're doing such a poor job with homework, watching Kentucky games, I guess you probably didn't realize we had a huge road win last Saturday at Mississippi State. That was a big one.
I saw that, yeah. I don't remember. What was the final on that one?
Which one?
It was 71-67.
Rule 71.
Yep. It was Rule 70. Actually, they made a pretty good run in the second half.
They did.
Half,
they were up 18.
Oh, they made a great run.
Made down to one. And then we had some good buckets in the end, especially by Tyler Hero, the three.
Oh, yeah, he hit a huge three.
It was like a fading to the left.
Balance.
Yeah.
Man, I
look like you, Chad. Looked like you back in the day.
It did look like me. I do like that kid. He is the type of kid Hero that IU used to get. Like, for example, do you remember the player Luke Recker? Remember that guy?
I knew when you started that sentence you were going to say Luke Recker.
Kid played with swag.
Yep.
You know, he's confident, and Hero's a lot like that. And I respect it. Hat tip. I mean, I like what he's doing for you guys. And I think he's climbing draft boards, too.
Yeah. I can't remember. I've lost track of time, but it may have been the week you were unable to do the show. But I think I told the story on the show how we ran into, got a chance to meet Tyler's mom and dad.
Yep.
Well, I've since run into him two more times since that first meeting, and he was at Rupp Arena this past Tuesday night for the LSU game, and we were able to spend some more time before the game. And this particular trip, he had his best friend from childhood with him. Bob was his name. Bob played basketball with Tyler's father, Chris, all through high school. And Bob actually coaches or had coached some basketball. And we got into a conversation, really knowledgeable. And he was able to go to a practice this week and also the shoot-around walk-through the day of the game. And this won't come as a shock, but it's just kind of interesting hearing this from – this guy's a diehard Wisconsin fan, does not like Kentucky, but was wearing Kentucky gear because of Tyler, obviously.
Yes.
But, man, he said, Evan, I got to admit, he goes, I was extremely impressed with how Coach Calipari ran his practice and his walkthrough. And obviously we would expect that from a Hall of Fame coach, but it's just kind of interesting hearing from a different perspective like that, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we actually we got our fourth caller, another Hall of Fame caller here, Mr. Zach Martin. You are on Red Blue Hoops.
How's it going tonight, fellas?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. Hey, favorite basketball player at IU?
Yes.
Just to be different, I would have said Calvert, but I'm going to say Yogi Ferrell.
All right, that's a good one. I could see a lot of folks saying Yogi. Heck of a leader. That's what we're missing now, right?
Oh, man, I can't imagine what kind of difference a player like him would make. But I think Tennessee's well on his way to being that guy.
I could see that, too.
By his junior or senior year. So.
Yep.
Anyway, I won't take too long, but I got some flack after I, you know, guest co-hosted it two weeks ago.
Yeah.
From some of the local IU fans saying I was a little bit too easy on Coach Miller. So I did a little research. And, you know, obviously we've got some high expectations as Indiana fans. Even from 30 years ago.
Yep.
I think, in my opinion, are unrealistic, and we just got a fan base that's extremely impatient. So I did a little research here over the last several days.
All right.
About basically pertaining to really high-level coaches. So over the last – let's go into this. 10 coaches have won 18 of the last 20 national championships. Each of those coaches have also been to at least one other Final Four in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Of those 10 coaches, who are arguably the most successful coaches over the last two decades, it took them an average of 3.1 years to get to the first Sweet 16.
Okay.
Wow. 3.9 years to get to the first Elite Eight. 5.5 years to get to the first Final Four. And 9.5 years to get their first national championship.
No kidding.
It's a good stat.
That's a heck of a stat, man.
Right, and we're talking about Jay Wright, Bill Self, Tom Izzo, Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, Billy Donovan, Jim Calhoun, Rick Pitino, Roy Williams, and John Calipari.
Wow.
The list does not get any better than that.
No, it doesn't.
So I think it's fair to say and fair to give Archie, if you look at where the real relevancy starts happening, you know, that first Elite Eight is right at the four-year mark, and the national championship is at 9.5, and the Final Four is kind of in between there. Years 4 to 8, maybe even 9, are where the magic happens. Crean got his 9 years. I'm not saying give Archie 9, but at least let him get to year 5 and see what he's got. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Oh, my gosh. No problem, Zach. Awesome.
As they kind of say, some teams, they make it like to the Final Four, and then they win the title. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the next year or something.
You want another pretty cool stat? You want to talk about John Morant?
John Morant stat, Evan, right, coming at you.
Murray State has played 6 road games in conference so far, and only one of them have not shown a double in attendance when Murray State has come. Their highest has been 161% attendance change from 2,000 to 5,250. So if John Morant is not a hot ticket, he's a hot ticket.
That's insane.
They're on ESPN2 tonight, too.
So I think Jeff Goodman was on Twitter today, and he said tonight's game is you're going to see two of the coolest things. You're going to hear one, or you're going to see one. You're going to see a lottery pick in John Morant.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear the best chant.
Let's go pee.
Let's go pee. That's right. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's
Evan, you going to be able to catch any of that game?
I'm going to try to. Again, we're heading to dinner, and we're going to try to sneak down to the sports bar in this complex and catch a little bit of the racer fever.
Boom.
And hopefully it can beat the dirty governors of Austin Peay.
Absolutely.
Hopefully so. They're pretty good, too. They're 10-2 in conference.
I think Vegas has it as a pick 'em, correct, Walker?
Nope. It changed to one Murray.
Really?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Go racers.
And oh, another weird. Did you see the stat line that came? The bet line for the UK Tennessee game this weekend.
No.
Supposedly it opened up as four Kentucky.
That
really?
Seems like a that's lot surprising. Of points, but
I know. But neutral court, that's one to Kentucky, so
I think that's going to push Tennessee Chad, fans. Yes, sir.
This is crazy. I've been saying this all year about Ja Morant being the best player in the state of Kentucky, but I'll even throw Indiana in there. He's the best player in the state of Kentucky and Indiana, in regard to his NBA draft position projection, right?
Which he's
and he was a two, he's a two-star recruit out of high school from South Carolina. Think about that.
What a monster! You know, he's kind of like Oladipo in that fact. Mm-hmm. Oladipo came in as a low-star recruit, and all of a sudden he was the second pick in the draft. And Ja Morant might do the same thing, right?
Could very well could. It'll be interesting to see because the NBA has a new lottery style. Where the worst three records have the same percentage for the number one pick. So, I think depending on where which team comes out first, that where Ja may go.
Well, you touched on, Evan, you guys play Tennessee on Saturday, and then who do you have next week, your next two games?
At Missouri. Tennessee, which is the number one team in the country, coming into Rupp Arena Saturday, and then we travel to the Missouri Tigers next Tuesday.
Always a weird place for us to play, kind of.
Well, that matches up. I don't know the schedule, but we play Minnesota on the road Saturday, and then Tuesday we play Purdue.
Oh, Purdue, that's
right.
So
we might have the game before you guys on ESPN or something.
I don't know.
Check that.
Yeah, we'll check it. But yeah.
If we do, I hope that there's a bunch of foul shots late and it makes the game start, or you miss the first, like, 2 minutes or something, because you guys have done that to us a few times.
Hey, Chad, on Valentine's Day, that's not very kind to do to your co-host.
You're right. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
No, I understand. You're under so much stress. Indiana fans are under a lot of stress, and sometimes you guys say crazy things.
Oh, it's horrible. So, I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's the season's not over yet. There's seven games. Indiana's still showing up. They're still in a position where they can do something.
Very well.
It's not all lost yet, but, you know, you have to – in order to win a couple games, you need to win one game.
That
first.
Means more score more points than the other team that you're playing, Chad.
That's exactly right.
All right, so live remote next Thursday at Bar Louie.
We got 20 seconds. Live remote next Thursday.
Bar Louie, 6 o'clock. Come out and support IU, even though they're not playing too well, but UK because they're playing pretty well. So
absolutely. Yeah, you get to see our pretty faces.
They do. You do. Even though we're on Facebook Live, you can still see them. So.
That's right. Evan, thanks a ton for calling in from Nashville. Red, blue,
yes,
hoops.
Sir.
Go Hoosiers.
Go Cats.
We're
boo,
out.
Y'all.
Go Big Blue.
Support for Red, Blue, Hoops comes from Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union, offering vertical checking plus ATM reimbursement. Evansville Teachers Federal Credit Union. Everything we do for you. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. Maria Thomas is the technical director. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of the WNIN staff or board of directors, or for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.